Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, we hope you enjoy this repeat broadcast.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Back in 2011, a book came out titled, This Is My Doctrine, The Development of Mormon Theology. It's published by Crawford Books, and it was written by Charles Harrell. Charles R. Harrell. He is a professor at Brigham Young University. He's an associate professor of manufacturing engineering technology. He is not a part of the Department of Religion. And some might say, well, isn't that a detriment? I don't think so necessarily, because in my personal opinion, I don't think anybody who's a part of the Department of Religion at Brigham Young University would probably be ranked very high, in my opinion, as far as having a high knowledge of the Bible anyways.
Bill, this book is in quotation marks. This is my doctrine. And that title from this book is from D&C 1067. This is my doctrine, referring to God's doctrine. So he uses that, and as the subtitle says, the development of Mormon theology, he's going to show how the theology has been developed, and he's going to give his unique perspective, one that we really haven't heard much from a BYU professor ever give before.
And that's why we should probably explain why we are taking the time to look at this book, because most of the time, if you've listened to this show, many of the books that we do review are manuals that are produced by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or perhaps a book that was written by a general authority in the Mormon Church. And to us, those certainly do have a very high level of importance to the average member of the LDS Church. Now, some might say, Eric, well, this is just another BYU professor. There's hundreds of BYU professors. They don't have the authority to really speak on doctrinal issues, and they should not really even be believed, according to many Latter-day Saints, if what they say about a particular teaching conflicts with what's being taught in downtown Salt Lake City at church headquarters. So why are we looking at this is probably a very fair question to ask, because Charles R. Harrell doesn't have priesthood authority to refute what a Mormon leader has taught on a given passage. But there are some things in this book that I think, though they may not carry a lot of weight for us as Christians who have never been Mormons, it may be seen as an encouragement to many ex-Mormons who were led to believe that certain passages in the Bible support the premise that Mormonism is true. Because you and I have both talked to Latter-day Saints who, once they leave the Mormon church, there's always the, what if I'm wrong?
Right.
And certainly the reason why they would be thinking this is because there are certain passages that have been drilled into them during their lifetime as Latter-day Saints that tend to prove that Mormonism is true. Harrell looks at a lot of these very verses, and he does not draw the same type of conclusions. And I think the reason why is because he goes outside of the proverbial Mormon box to look at the historical context and to even get the opinions of biblical scholars on some of these issues. And in doing so, he does not draw the same conclusion that Mormon leaders have drawn.
There are a number of verses we could refer to where Latter-day Saints, when they leave Mormonism, become former Mormons, would maybe read those verses and think, maybe I'm wrong, as you just mentioned. And let me give you an example. Amos 3:7, which says, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, that can be kind of scary if you've left the one true church that had prophets that God reveals his secrets to. And so in the back of your mind, as a former Latter-day Saint, you might be thinking, what if I were wrong after all? And I think why we want to do this this series of shows on this book is not that we're going to say everything that this author has said is something we're going to agree with, but I think he does make a good case on a number of important biblical passages that gives us the reason to go into these, and hopefully that will be helpful to a lot of people in our listening audience.
Well, I think anybody reading our book, Mormonism 101, the new edition, we cited Harrell on numerous occasions to show that even a BYU professor can draw a different conclusion than what Mormon leaders have said. And in many of the cases that we cite in 101, we show that Harrell actually was siding with us.
Right.
And I should say that it's not that we're special. It's just that our conclusions are based on sound scholarship from other people as well. We're not outside of the norm on a lot of these interpretations. But let's look at some of the comments that have been made by people about this book. And the first one we want to look at is from the Improvement Era website. Now, there was a magazine called the Improvement Era that's long been out of print. This is a website called Improvement Era. On April 30th, 2011, the author of this one piece, David Taman, T-A-Y-M-A-N, said this about Harrell's book.
Harrell, a faithful and practicing member of the church, asserts that a belief in a seamless story isn't necessary to maintain faith in God, Jesus Christ, or Joseph Smith's prophetic call, and the authority of the restored church. What he does suggest in part is that sometimes our understanding of key assertions and definitions, and especially attitudes of arrogant exclusivity, may need to be adjusted. This book is going to have a mixed reception. There are some on the very doctrinally conservative wing of Mormonism who will view this book as heretical, and based on a lack of hand-holding and apologetic buffering, their misunderstanding of Harrell's intent may be interpreted as quote-unquote anti-Mormon and designed to destroy faith and break down trust in the Lord's servants and scriptures.
Now let me stop you there, because when he says this book is going to have a mixed reception, I can understand that. When you look at some of the things that he says about some of these verses that Mormons have often turned to support their faith, he doesn't draw the same conclusion. So I can understand why some, as he says, who are doctrinally conservative are probably going to look at this book as even being heretical. Why? Because he doesn't draw the same conclusion as many Mormon apostles and prophets in the Mormon church. Now, it doesn't seem to bother Harrell, though. That's the thing. It doesn't seem to bother Harrell, but I would think that it would definitely bother a lot of conservative Mormons. It certainly opened our eyes and surprised us in many cases to see that Harrell was actually going along with what many biblical scholars have said about these verses for years and years, which of course go against the grain of how Mormon leaders have interpreted it. Why would a conservative Mormon look at his interpretations as heretical? Because they have been led to believe by their leaders that their leaders are spokesmen for God. Mm-hmm. And so many Mormons are not going to give that kind of leniency to anybody who has a different conclusion than what their leaders have given.
And especially when he's using the verses that are still, even after 2011, being used in general conference, church manuals, and other talks. And what this book is going to show is that those interpretations that continue are not right. They're inaccurate because of the context. He goes to the context on these passages to show what they really meant for the readers of the day that those passages were written.
Now, Taman goes on to say, however, the other end of the spectrum, the traditional so-called anti-Mormon crowd, especially those from evangelical camps, would be unwise to champion this book in their cause, because without the principle of continuing revelation and allowance for theological, textual, and historical error to be found in Scripture, this book would be far more damaging to their claims than it would be for the core of Mormonism. Do you agree with that statement?
No, I think what he's saying is that a lot of the things that are being written in this book are going to be things that we would disagree with, because he takes a more liberal perspective on some of the issues, and we definitely would disagree with him, and that's fine. We will do that with any author. We're going to agree with some things and disagree, and we'll have reasons why we would, but I don't think you have to take the whole book and say, I have to believe with every single principle in it to be able to say that there isn't value in the things that we're going to be talking about in these next few weeks.
I think what Taman says in this particular paragraph goes back to what I said earlier, because we did cite Harrell a number of times in our new edition of Mormonism 101. I don't think we were unwise in championing not just his book, because we weren't really championing the whole book, as you said. We were looking at some of the things he said about particular passages. And if, in fact, Harrell isn't agreeing with the leadership, then I think as Christians we need to point that out. And that may be helpful, as we mentioned earlier, to a lot of members of the LDS Church who are struggling with some of these passages. And the reason why they're struggling with them is because of the traditional Mormon interpretations that have been given to them that Harrell doesn't see as being valid. And we would agree with that. So why couldn't we point to what Harrell says and show, look, there is a different view on this passage. Many people have a different view on this. The Mormons are unique in this. The question the Mormon has to ask themselves is, your unique interpretation outside of what it should be?
And let's just be honest, many Latter-day Saints accept at face value what their leaders tell them at General Conference and in the church manuals. And so they've always approached the verse that I just mentioned in Amos the way that the church has interpreted it based on its own presuppositions. And what this book is going to do is going to go into the context and show that's not what was meant. How many Latter-day Saints have actually honestly taken a look to see if what their leaders are teaching them is the contextual truth that was being taught by the original writer?
I think you make a good point there, and that is why I feel that perhaps this book could be valuable to a Latter-day Saint who wants to know another opinion. Many Mormons, sadly, will only take what their leaders tell them as being quote-unquote gospel truth. How many times have you ever handed a tract, let's say, to a Mormon, and the first thing they do is flip it over to see if it has the Mormon church's logo on it? If it doesn't have the church logo on it, they just dismiss it. That's not always a good way to look at things, because there could be some things in that publication that might be worth listening to.
Bill, we're going to take the next few weeks and we're going to talk about this book. And I have compiled a document for radio notes that we're using actually on this broadcast and for the future broadcast. So if you'd like to have a copy of that, we're going to send a PDF copy to anybody who would like to go onto our website, mrm.org, go to the donate button, and for a gift of any kind, just put down radio notes, and we'll send this document to you. Just make sure we have your email address.
And we might mention that we certainly do appreciate your support of this broadcast, and we hope that this series will be eye-opening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. All of us at Mormonism Research Ministry want to wish you and yours a joyous Christmas season as we remember the miraculous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save his people from their sins. If Viewpoint on Mormonism has been a blessing to you, would you consider a generous year-end gift to help further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry? Please know that your tax-deductible gift to MRM is very much appreciated, and we humbly thank you for your kind support.